Coming up on the FSR Sarkfighter podcast, my son, the influencer, joins me to talk about sarcoidosis.
Yeah, it has been a really fun project so far. So,
in this episode of the FSR Sarkfighter podcast, Jonathan Carlin is raising thousands by talking to his massive community on YouTube and other social media channels.
And we make fan theories about like Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, and Harry Potter, mostly.
It's all coming up on the FSR Sarkfighter Podcast.
This is the Sarkfighter Podcast, living with sarcoidosis and other rare diseases. Here's your host, John Carlin.
Hello, this is episode 114 of the FSR Sarkfighter Podcast. I am your host, John Carlin. This episode is brought to you by Atire Pharmaceuticals. To learn more about their new pulmonary sarcoidosis trial, EFSOFIT, visit stopsarcoidosis.org/atire-trial. And there is a link in the show notes if you can't remember all of that, but I hope you'll give it a look. I do this podcast because, of course, I want to help you understand what's going on with you, to give you a sense of hope as you are dealing with this unpredictable, this snowflake disease. And I think of this podcast as the voice of sarcoidosis. And it's not my voice, it's your voice. It's the community's voice, the patients, the medical community, and of course the people at FSR who are our advocates in just about any direction you can think in terms of amplifying the effect of what everybody is trying to do when it comes to dealing with sarcoidosis. So this is just a tiny grain, a grain of sand, if you will, on a beach of all the different people who represent the world of sarcoidosis. Now, if you are looking for hope and you have not yet listened to the previous two episodes, I would point you in that direction because I've had two pharma companies on who have joined me, Atire and Kinevant, and they are reporting significant progress in two sarcoidosis-specific drugs, which, of course, is all very new. There are none that have ever been developed directly to target sarcoidosis. So there's progress on both fronts, and you might want to go back and give them a listen because you will hear things that will make you feel a lot better about where we are in this battle. I hate to use all of these battle references. I call this the Sarkfighter Podcast, and I feel like it is. Other people feel like you need to lose that sort of language, and I can respect that because for some people, you're just dealing with it, and it is what it is. And as long as you are looking at it like a battle, you may just be making yourself less happy. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as, man, I want to do whatever I can to overcome all the setbacks that sarcoidosis has created in my life. So that's the way I look at it. And then when I talk about the pharmaceutical companies, they are battling, if you will, or they represent progress, weapons, if you will, in the battle against sarcoidosis. So anyway, that's the way I see it. That's the way I tend to frame it. And for people who think that that's maybe too aggressive, I'm sorry. I respect your opinion, but I've got to do it the way I see it. And so that's where we are. But so coming up on I didn't mean to get off on that tangent. It just started rushing into my head. But coming up on the podcast today, I'm very excited because my oldest son, Jonathan, who is half of YouTube's Super Carlin Brothers, will be joining me to talk about this fundraiser that he's doing for FSR, which is already into the thousands of dollars. So a little bit about Jonathan and the Super Carlin Brothers. I don't know if you've heard of the Super Carlin Brothers. They are very impactful on YouTube. In fact, you know, so everybody knows that I'm a local news anchor. So when Jonathan and Benjamin and Tyler were growing up, if we were out at dinner at a local restaurant when they were kids, people were constantly coming over the table and saying, I just want to tell you that I watch you on the news and that kind of thing. So they were used to me being recognized in public when they were growing up. Well, now, and Jonathan will talk a little bit more about what they do when they with his YouTube channel. But let me put it this way. If I walk around Disney with my sons, people are stopping them and wanting to do selfies and take pictures and talk for a minute. And I'm usually the one who has to take the person's camera and take the photo. So, and it's quite a thing to be walking around in another state and everybody recognizes your children. So, but that's what Jonathan and my middle son, Ben, do. They're the Super Carlin brothers. And essentially, they talk to people and they are constantly looking at what's going on in this world of fandom. And I have a hard time describing fandom, but think of fandom as this large group of people who is totally into, say, Disney movies or Pixar movies or Harry Potter or the Marvel universe. And they're talking about these movies and books long after the films come out. And there are entire communities out there doing that. And Jonathan and Ben, the Super Carlin brothers, basically look at a movie and they come up with like a theory, a backstory to certain things that are happening with the characters. And they've even talked to some of the writers in at Disney and Pixar and so forth and discovered like the whole backstory to Toy Story, you know, Woody and Buzz Lightyear and all of that. So and like Disney in particular writes the history of all of these characters before the characters surface in the movies. So that's why they are the way they are in the movies. There's just a lot going on there. And it's really interesting. And the boys are making their living doing this. I mean, Jonathan has three kids. Ben has one daughter. They've bought houses. They drive, you know, nice cars. And it's all been from YouTube. And then the various other ways that they use social media to support YouTube, such as Instagram and so forth and so on. So that's who Jonathan is. And he is going to talk to me about how he's using that audience to help fight sarcoidosis. So, I hope you'll find that interesting. Of course, I'm the proud father, so I think everything he does and says is interesting. So take that with a grain of sand, but with a grain of salt. that's what we've got going on today, and I hope you'll enjoy it. It's a shorter conversation than some of my interviews, but I think it'll be good, and I hope you enjoy it. So before we get to Jonathan, a couple of personal sarcoidosis-related notes. I'm headed to Cleveland this week for exams at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm feeling quite well, I have to tell you, but I'm anxious to see what the docs have to say. It's been over a year, closer to 2 years since my last exam, including an MRI on my spinal cord, which is the site of my sarcoidosis. And I'm anxious to see if that mass that they've been looking at is smaller, the same size, or larger. I feel like if it was larger, I would know because the neuropathy, the numbness and tingling that goes through my hands and feet and the rest of my body would probably be worse. And if it's creeping very slowly, so I haven't noticed it, but that's what we're looking at. So we'll get another MRI. And they're also going to look at my knees this time. They're not as an MRI, but I guess they're going to do x-rays. I've had some unusual pain, just very occasionally, and it could be old age, but they want to look around my knees and just rule out sarcoidosis. So we'll be looking at that. This is a 3-day event for me. It's a 7-hour drive from here to Cleveland. So I drive up for a day and then I have a full day of exams and imaging and so forth and so on. And then I'll see a doctor the following morning. So that would be a Friday morning at about 10 a.m. and then get in the car and drive home from Cleveland. So I just want to let you know I'm taking Humira, and my insurance company wants to switch me to a biosimilar therapy, which obviously costs less money. But my doctor thinks that because of where I have sarcoidosis, he doesn't want to take a chance. So he thinks I should stay on Humira. It is off-label for sarc, like pretty much everything. But it does seem to be working for me. And so right now it's a battle between my docs and the insurance company. Meanwhile, my supply of Humira is beginning to dwindle in the refrigerator, but stay tuned and we'll see what happens with that. And I'm curious if any of you are having the same problem. I know the insurance companies don't like to pay for many of the therapies for sarcoidosis because none of them are on label. So it is what it is. And if you want to, contact me and you want to share your story, I'm sure a lot of the audience would want to hear that as well. So please reach out to me. You can ping me at carlinagency@gmail.com. And also that's in the show notes. It's always there and you're always free to contact me. Meanwhile, the publication, online publication, Sarcoidosis News, is reporting that Remicade or infliximab is effective for fighting sarcoidosis in the nervous system or liver, but not the skin or the skeletal system. And I'll just read you a little bit of their report. This is reported by Marisa Wexler, MS. It's dated April 30th of 2024. The headline reads, Remicade effective for sarcoidosis of nerves or liver, but not muscles and skin. And then it says, even when patients did respond, the therapy merely suspended the disease. That's the subheadline. So I'll read you a little bit about it, and then I'll paraphrase. But what I'll do is I'll just give you a link to this if you want to read it in any detail. It is their report, after all. But it is interesting, and it says, treatment with Remicade is generally effective for controlling sarcoidosis when it affects the nervous system or liver, but patients whose disease affects the skin or skeletal system aren't as likely to respond to it, according to a study. And then it goes on, Remicade shows promise for treating patients with sarcoidosis, particularly with nervous system and liver involvement, but not musculoskeletal or cutaneous skin involvement, researchers wrote in their report, which has a very long name, but it was published in Respiratory Research. And then it describes what sarcoidosis is, marked by abnormal clumps of inflammatory immune cells called granulomas. If you're listening to this, you probably already know that. And then it says, Remicade is usually not a first choice of treatment for sarcoidosis because it can increase the risk of serious infections, but it can provide powerful disease control for some patients. And it says here, scientists in France reviewed data from 55 SARC patients treated with Remicade at their center to understand which patients tended to have the best response. And then it goes into a lot of the demographics of the studies, which I won't read you because it's very clinical and tedious, unless you're actually a researcher. But some of the conclusions, if I jump towards the bottom, say Remicade was less efficacious for treating joint, muscle, or skin lesions in the patients of what they called group 3, wrote the researchers, who noticed the study was limited to a small number of patients at one center, so the results should be interpreted cautiously. But even when patients did respond to Remicade, the therapy, quote, merely suspended sarcoidosis. That is, most patients who stopped taking it had a relapse within a few months. That's interesting. Consistent with the therapy's known safety profile, the researchers noted that serious infections were common, especially in older patients, including 2 cases of pneumonia that were fatal. And given these risks, the scientists emphasize a need for more research to help determine the risk of a relapse after stopping Remicade And then there's a quote here, it can cause serious infections and only suspend sarcoidosis. Therefore, predictive factors for relapse should be the focus of any further research. So again, this is written by Marissa Wexler, MS, a Master of Science in Cellular and Molecular Pathology from the University of Pittsburgh. And she has quite a long list of credentials here, but she often is the author of these SARC-facing articles on sarcoidosis news. So that's what's going on with that. I can just share a little bit because I did take Remicade and it was effective for my neurosarc. But one of the things that my doctors here at Carilion in Roanoke were worried about and watched very closely was a rise in liver enzymes. And that eventually happened, and they, for various reasons, felt like that was more dangerous than the potential cure. And so I stopped taking Remicade, but it did control my sarcoidosis at the time. And so that is how we went on to other therapies. And that's about the time that I transferred to the Cleveland Clinic because I wanted to deal with a clinic that dealt specifically with sarcoidosis. And then you've heard my journey from there, which resulted in me now being on Humira and also Imuran. So I take Humira once every 2 weeks and Imuran daily. So that's where I am, but that's the update on Remicade. It caught my eye because a lot of patients are on Remicade, and I thought this was an interesting story. Again, that was a study on a small group. If you want to read more about it, you can just go find and subscribe to Sarcoidosis News, or I will put a link to that particular article in the show notes. So meanwhile, the weather is beautiful here in Virginia's Blue Ridge. I've been riding my bike a lot. Yesterday was an event that I talked about last year. It's a ride with about 600 people do this, and some people ride a 100-mile version of it. Honestly, some people do a 75-mile version. I do the 50-mile version, and that just about kills me. But the ride is called Storming Thunder Ridge. And for me, yesterday, I'm reading the data directly from my GPS device, my Garmin. There was 5,300 feet of climbing. You start out, you ride about 6 miles, and then you're on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and there is a climb that is 12 and a half miles long. 12 and a half miles of constant uphill. There's no break. And so for me, that is 2 hours of climbing on the bike. And the way the weather was yesterday, we started out under clear conditions, but you could not see the top of the mountain because they were covered by clouds. And as we rode up, we rode right into the mist. We rode right into the clouds. So, and there are some really high mountains around here. I don't know how high Thunder Ridge is. I would say that it is over 4,000 feet. But I'm not sure. But anyway, we rode into the clouds. There was a rest stop at the top, and everybody's walking around in the mist. It was chilly. It was cold because you're sweating after climbing for so long. And then you get this wonderful downhill on the way down the backside of the mountain. Again, from my GPS, I actually got up to 46 miles an hour. I'm not kidding. But I got to tell you that I felt the best that I have in the last 3 years. I tried to do this ride every year. And so I'm going up the mountain probably at around 6 miles an hour. Every once in a while, I'll touch 7. Every once in a while, down to 5, maybe 4. But usually when I look down at my GPS, it tells me I'm going around 6 miles an hour. So, and I felt the best that I have felt at least in the last 3 years. So, take that sarcoidosis, a little kick in the face for SARC, at least for now. And the cool thing is you just got to live in the moment, right? You just got to live in the moment. Speaking of that, professionally, I want to share something with you that I'm very proud of. Last week, two of the stories that I did for WSLS 10 last year, where I'm the news anchor, two of my stories were nominated for Emmy Awards. And when you talk about Emmys, It's a standard that's national, but the judging is done region by region around the United States. So I'm in Roanoke, Virginia, and so the Emmy Awards here, they're called regional Emmys, and our region is Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Richmond, Virginia Beach, basically all the stations in the state of Virginia and Maryland, and I don't think it touches North Carolina at all. But you know, when you're up against D.C. and Maryland with your reporting, Baltimore, you know, those are big markets with very sophisticated news coverage and huge stations with lots of resources. So we're kind of the little guys down here in Roanoke. We're market number 68. Out of I don't know how many there are in the United States, but anyway, it's a real win just to get nominated, and the two stories that I did a documentary or special report on the border crisis because I had the chance to go to Eagle Pass, Texas last year. I've talked about it on the newscast, and be embedded with the National Guard, the Virginia National Guard, which was mobilized to try and help out the authorities in Texas as they're dealing with these migrants coming across the border, crossing the Rio Grande River. And so I spent 3 days on patrol with those guys, going back and forth and reporting their story, interviewing a lot of the troops, and because they are, I mean, they're carrying machine guns, you know, I guess machine guns is a very generic term, but they're carrying very impressive weapons. And at the time I could have told you what they were, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. But anyway, so we were down there for 3 days and we actually interviewed them. We interviewed the migrants. I talked to a lot of different people about what was going on down there and then put it all together. And that special report that I did wound up being about an hour long, is nominated for an Emmy. But then I did a feature report on a woman named Kinsey who was injured in a terrible car accident. She went from being an athlete, a lacrosse player and a gymnast, to a paraplegic skier who rides on a monoski. She can't use her legs anymore, but her arms and her upper body are fine. And she does stuff on that monoski that is just amazing. I mean, she goes off jumps. I mean, you could watch her in the Olympics and be amazed, just like you see everything else in the Olympics. She rides rails. She takes on the same slalom courses as regular skiers. And I went and skied with her at Snowshoe in West Virginia. And we did a feature on how she has gone from being an accomplished skier to then having the accident to then becoming a paraplegic to just learning how to kind of go down the mountain, because they had her husband had some B-roll of her when she was just learning. Maybe it was her mother. I can't remember. I did interview her mother as well. But you know, she would go a few feet and she'd fall and go a few feet and fall. And now she, last I heard, was competing to be on the Paralympic team. So, it's just an amazing, amazing story and so inspirational. I interviewed her on the chairlift and she got all choked up and started crying, talking about how she does this for other people who, you know, and sarcoidosis is not a part of their conversation, but facing challenges is. And for her, it was a neuro challenge because it was her spinal cord that was damaged. So I could relate to her in certain ways. But at any rate, and Snowshoe has, I was shooting pictures. We had a GoPro attached to her as we were all going down the mountain. I had a GoPro when I was following her. And then Snowshoe has, a guy who is a really, really good photographer and works at the mountain. So he went down on his snowboard. So he was in front of her looking back, and I was behind her looking down the hill. And we got all this amazing footage of her. And then we combined that with some interviews and so forth. And that story also is nominated. And that's an extremely difficult category to win in, because that's where all the really, really pretty stories and good stories and, you know, humanitarian stories that people do wind up is in that category, which is what they call light feature. So I don't know that I have a great chance to win, but to be nominated there really, really made me feel good. So what happens now is if you're nominated, you're a finalist for an award, and then they have the ceremony on June 22nd, and we'll find out if maybe I have an Emmy coming my way. So stay tuned. I'm sure that I'll let you know. And thanks for letting me share my good news with you. So there you go. I hope you're enjoying the Sark Fighter podcast. It does help me reach as many people as possible. If you share it on your social media, share it with your friends, share it with the other people that you may know in the sarcoidosis community, and that just helps grow the podcast, right? Helps the message reach more people, and that's what it's all about. All right, it's time to get to Jonathan and his fundraiser, and it's coming up here on the FSR Sark Fighter podcast.
I feel like a zombie. Just feeding at stumbling.
Hi, I hope you're enjoying the Sark Fighter podcast. You may be wondering, what can I do to help? How can I be a part of the sarcoidosis solution? It's simple. Make a donation to KISS, Kick In to Stop Sarcoidosis. 100% of the money goes to the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research. Look for a link in the show notes of the Sark Fighter podcast. Welcome back to the FSR Sark Fighter podcast, and joining me today is my son, Jonathan. Jonathan, hello.
Hey, how are you doing? I'm so excited to be on the podcast.
I am so excited for you to be here. And let's tell people a little bit more about you. So you come under that category of people known as influencer.
Oh boy. Okay. I think there's influencers and content creators.
Okay.
And I think there's a line between there. I think I fall more on content creator, but yes, you're right. I'm a YouTuber.
Well, how would you define the difference between the two?
I think like an influencer is someone who is like famous for like being on The Bachelor or something. Like they okay. don't make content. They just have popularity. And they just post things because they're popular. Uh-huh. And like we like write and shoot things and create content for people to watch. So I think that's the difference.
All right. So tell people the realm in which you live where you're creating this content.
All right. So me and my brother Ben, your other son, are YouTubers. We're the Super Carlin Brothers. And we make fan theories about like Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, and Harry Potter mostly.
Okay. And you also have some podcasts.
Yes, we do. We have a couple of podcasts. One is called Popcorn Culture, which is mostly just me and Ben telling stories about the trials and tribulations of being parents and telling stories from our life and growing up in this house.
Yeah, in fact, we are recording in what used to be your bedroom.
We are. It looks so much smaller now and so different than when I used to sleep here every night.
I always felt bad about turning your bedroom into my office and now podcast studio. But yeah, so I've got aquariums all around and my pictures on the wall, and it really... it's been repainted. I'm sorry, son.
No, it's totally fine. I have not needed it at all in the last, 18 years, so we're good.
Has it been that long, really?
After college, I guess I lived here for like maybe a year or so. So, I don't know, maybe 17 years, but...
Okay, all right. So I don't have to feel too guilty.
No.
All right, well, you are taking I started to say influencer, but I can't say influencer. Well, you're taking your audience. You do have over 2 million subscribers on your YouTube channel.
We do, yeah.
And you guys, you and Ben, make your full-time living with your various social media and YouTube posts.
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's we've been full-time since 2015.
Man, that's a long time.
It does. It feels like a really long time, especially in like YouTuber years. Where like, we've been invited to some events down at like Disney World or whatever, and people the phrase that suddenly started popping up was like legacy YouTuber, and I was like, "Oh, you mean we're old. I get it."
Wow.
I know.
Legacy YouTuber. I still think of you as cutting edge. Like, look, my son has a job doing YouTube. That's brand new.
I know. We go down there now. It's like all the TikTokers are everywhere and stuff. And like, we're on TikTok also, but that's not like our full-time jam.
Okay. And are you on TikTok as Super Carlin Brothers?
We are, yes. Also Super Carlin Brothers.
Okay. So if people want to find you, they can just search Super Carlin Brothers.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, you are here today because you are doing a fundraiser for FSR, and
yes,
it's going really well.
Yeah, it has been a really fun project so far. So there's been this sort of like running joke in the office that I should grow a mustache because historically I've not been great at growing facial hair. Not that I've given it a ton of effort. And like the look on the channel is that Ben has got like more of like the full goatee and beard and stuff. And I am extremely clean shaven, and that has been my look forever. So we thought it'd be really funny if, like, oh, what if Jay had a mustache? But because I'm on camera and stuff, it sort of needs, like, if I just started growing it, I thought it might be a little bit jarring. So I came up with an idea, though, one day where what if we just did, like, this month-long campaign where I agreed to grow a mustache for 1 minute for every dollar donated to our sarcoidosis fundraiser.
Okay.
Yep. And so that is what we launched. We're calling it Make Jay Grow a Mustache in May. And the way it's working is that for, like I said, every dollar donated to the fundraiser, I will continue to grow a mustache past the month of May. So I'll grow it the whole month no matter what. But then into June, the real game is how long can you make me grow a mustache?
Aha.
Yes.
And your audience has responded to that.
It has, yes. I've been so pleasantly surprised by it so far. Like, I didn't really know at all what to expect, but I think I checked my email this morning and we had crossed over the $4,000 mark so far, which was just so exciting. I was like, whoa, that's insane. So really, really impressed by the audience and just it's been really good feedback and stuff. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I can't do the math in my head, but it seems like the $4,000 equates to 4,000 minutes.
Yeah.
How many minutes are there in a day?
There's like 1,440 minutes in a day. So it's not just the amount of dollars donated. Then it's also, everyone can get a couple of free minutes as well if they want by like following me on Instagram or signing up for like our Super Carlin Brothers newsletter as well. So all of it combined has added up to like about 7,000 minutes, give or take some, which effectively is giving us like a full week into June at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And do you have a goal?
I just sort of arbitrarily set the goal, but I'm hoping we hit it anyway, is to try and get to like 10,000 raised.
Okay.
So I think we're like halfway through the month. We're like 4,000 there. So I think it's still reasonable. We could still hit it.
Okay. So if somebody wants to donate, then you created a KISS account,
yes,
on the FSR website.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Kick In to Stop Sarcoidosis. And how do people find that?
Well, hopefully you could just put it in the description of this podcast.
Of course I will. Of course I'll do that. So you can just click on that.
You can just click on that right there. Right. Yeah.
But if somebody's like driving and they can't look and then they get to work and they say, oh, I wanted to donate to that thing that Jonathan is doing. So I go to the FSR website and then I think I just type in KISS and then the little KISS screen comes up and you see everybody who's raising money with a KISS account, including me.
Yeah, then you could just search for Super Carlin Brothers.
Super Carlin, so it's not Jonathan Carlin. Search for Super Carlin Brothers.
I'll double check it for you, just so I make sure we give people the right.
Jonathan is looking at his phone right now.
Yeah, here we go. Hold on.
This is the quiet time while Jonathan searches his phone. Wants to make sure that that's what it's under. People are obviously finding it because you've crossed, would you say, $4,000? Yeah.
Yes.
So that's really good. And you've had a couple of sizable donations, haven't you?
We have had, yeah, I woke up, there was, actually the FSR page reposted one of our Instagram videos, because like what we're doing is every day on Instagram, I'm like posting another reel with like an update so people can see what the mustache looks like and stuff. And, you know, we'll plug it again. And the FSR Instagram page like reposted one. And I woke up one morning and checked my phone, and there was a $500 donation. Nice. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is unbelievable. Gosh, I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to find the exact words.
Right. And while you're on Instagram, but do you have your own account on Instagram, right? Is that John Kerlin?
That is John Kerlin. So yeah, if you want to get that free minute and follow on Instagram, it's at John Kerlin, J-O-N-K-E-R-L-I-N. So not to be confused with John Carlin.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. Well, I'm John Kerlin, and yes, you are Jonathan Kerlin.
Yes.
And in, what was it, high school, people sort of ran your name together and called you John Kerlin.
Yeah, yeah. My good buddy. So one of my best friends in high school was also name was John. So in order to differentiate between the two of us, he would just address me by my entire full name at all times as John Kerlin. And then it just sort of like became this joke that he was saying John Kerlin, and that became sort of my handle online for everything before we started Super Kerlin Brothers.
Gotcha. So if people want to follow you on Instagram, they have to look for John Kerlin.
Yes.
And we'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Yes.
As well. I'm assuming that, because I didn't know you were going to do this FSR fundraiser.
Yeah.
Until I saw one of your Instagram posts. I'm like, Jonathan, that is the coolest thing ever. So first of all, I just want to say thank you. Oh. Because you guys do a lot of work with a lot of different causes, and you picked sarcoidosis.
Well, you know, there's a very, you know, near and dear reason to my heart to raise awareness for it, since, you know, you have it.
Right.
Yeah. So I often have struggled in the past, like whenever we do fundraisers, I'm like, where should we aim this at? And like, now I have such an obvious one to try and raise awareness for, because the thing is, as I've been posting about it, especially in the first couple of days, a lot of the people in the comments are like, wait, what's sarcoidosis? I don't even know. So I think we are at least successfully getting the word out about what it is. So that's been part of it. So part of the updates are, you know, what does my mustache look like? And, you know, what funny reactions is my wife having to it and stuff? And then the other half is hopefully just like educating people some about like what the disease really is and, you know, why we need to raise money for it.
And that's the thing is so we're just coming out of this is we're in May now of 2024, in case you're listening to this as a back episode. But April is always Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. And the theme this year was Say Sarcoidosis, because you just want people to hear that word.
Right.
Because it's kind of an awkward word.
Yeah.
And then, of course, so few people have it, about 200,000 in the United States, that you just want people to be aware of it. You want doctors to be aware of it, because yeah, it's one of the last things they look for. You were a big house watcher.
I was. I feel like on House, it's almost always a joke that like it's not sarcoidosis.
Right.
Was that the case?
They were always searching for like something wrong with this guy. I don't know what it is. You know, they can't figure it out. And someone would always raise their hand. You know, one of the people on his team would say, could it be sarcoidosis?
Right. Yeah.
And so that was the only place you had ever heard the word before.
That was really the only place I heard about it. And then suddenly you had it. And I felt like part of your whole story was that it took them a long time to diagnose it, which was like, that's, you know, obviously part of the problem. It's like they don't even know to look for it, or maybe they're not always trying to look for it first.
Yeah, because it's you know, there's a lot of things that it mimics, and there's a lot of other things it's more likely to be if something is wrong with you. So it just takes a while to eliminate everything else and then get down to it. It would be nice if they'd start looking for it sooner.
Yes, yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, then even once they diagnosed it on you, it took like rounds and rounds of medication to like zero in on the exact thing that was going to work.
It did.
Right.
It did. And it's been, people have heard me talk about that ad nauseum.
I'm sure they have, yeah.
On the podcast. But, so are you going to keep the mustache?
Well, that is the question. Me and my wife, Beth, were discussing that this morning. Because, I don't know entirely yet. I do like the way it looks. I feel like, there are parts of, I was telling Ben this the other day, that, like, I feel like there are certain shirts I have that like suddenly look even better now that I have the mustache. Like even the one I'm wearing right now, you guys probably can't see it, but like it's got like a certain vibe to it where it's like, oh, it's a trendy shirt. But if you have a mustache, it's sort of like, oh, well, that is, I see that guy's got like a whole vibe. You know?
Yeah.
It went from being a cool shirt to like a full on like effect.
Yeah, because you're wearing a shirt like it's got sort of an island vibe, but yeah. It's not really Hawaiian. I would say it's more Caribbean.
Yeah.
South America, you got like a
toucan. Yeah, they got like the skulls there. In there, right? And all that, yeah. Kind of, yeah.
So, but yeah, it doesn't go as well with a clean cut guy as with a guy with a mustache.
Right, like you can wear it as a clean cut guy, because that's yeah. What I was doing. But sure. Like with the mustache, it's sort of like, you can, almost everything you're doing might be ironic. I feel like, you know.
Wow, this is getting deep here.
That's at least my internal feelings on it. I'm not sure if that's how it's being perceived or if anyone would have been like, well, that's sort of a weird shirt for you to be wearing or anything. But that's been, that's sort of, that when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. So in some ways, I'm like, I have a lot of shirts that seem like they go better with the mustache. Like, was my face waiting for this the whole time? But then I'm like, I don't entirely know if that's the case, because I also am like, I feel like I'm going to shave again at some point. And honestly, I really feel like Beth will have a lot to... Really, whatever she wants is probably what I'll do.
Does she like it or not like it?
I think she's not bothered by it. I think she thought it was like, it's going to look really weird, but at this point... I don't think she's bothered by it, but I'm not. I don't even know if she knows if she prefers it or not.
I see.
Yeah,
I see. All right. But you, I can't remember when you were growing up, you ever trying to grow facial hair.
Well, I really couldn't. You know,
you inherited wealth.
Yeah,
you pick your parents better if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Ben and Ty both have some degree of facial hair, so they've gone for it, but. In 2000, I think 15, I did No Shave November, and I was like, yeah, we'll give it a shot. And I got to the end of the month and it just did not look good. Like for Ben, it went a lot better, cause that was when he decided, yeah, I'm going to have a beard, and he just stuck with it the entire time. And it still hasn't shaved since 2015. So, I got to the end of that month. It was like, whoa, definitely need to get rid of this. So, but it's been, you know, 9 years. So I thought maybe I'll give it another shot.
Yeah. Well, it's coming in nice.
I know. I think it looks way better already than it did 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The problem is now you have to go buy, if you're going to wear that shirt and the mustache, you pretty much have to go buy like a Jeep and take, you know, the top off of it and drive around.
Oh, well, I mean, me and Beth's dream car is like one of those like a convertible Bronco or like a soft top Bronco. So I thought that would hit the vibe.
That's the same vibe.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We can do it.
Just island time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be better if I lived in a place that didn't rain so much.
Right.
But.
Well, you could, but we're in the mountains here. You know, I could see you just tooling around down the Blue Ridge Parkway or, you know, at some of these mountain roads and pulling into the country store and just owning it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I could totally do it.
Of course,
yeah.
You got to do it with your son Luke and twins Nick and Nate all in the, you know. That changes the vibe a little bit, but it's still awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. My son, Nick, came. I was in the bath. I was cleaning up the rest. The weird thing about growing the mustache is that I've actually had to shave more often than I was. Because if the other parts of my face start growing hair, now it just looks like very unmaintained. Like the mustache might be an accident that I just haven't shaved in a while.
It's got to look conscious.
It's got to look conscious, yeah. So I have to shave a lot more on the rest of my face. My son Nick came in the bathroom this morning as I was like trimming it up. And he's like, you just shaving your mustache, Daddy? And I was like, I've never heard you say the word mustache before. So that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, because you have twins.
Yes, I do.
Nick
yes.
and Nate.
Yep.
And they are...
Four.
Four.
Yes.
Yeah. I was doing the math in my head. They can't be four already. Holy cow.
I know. Well, they just had their... They are officially on summer break. They just had their last day of preschool on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So that's crazy. So they'll go to one more year of preschool next year. And then my son Luke is about to finish up kindergarten next week. So...
Amazing.
I know. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a first grader. That's wild. But
I remember when I said that about you, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that long ago.
Well, so. We just watched that year in Carlin. The 1994 one was when I was in first grade. And it was wild watching that.
So the year in Carlin is, you know, we say that like everybody knows what it is.
Yeah, everyone knows what it is.
But so that I think I was ahead of my time, right?
Dude, that was the crazy part is that, yeah, watching it, it was like... You, like, had the resources at the TV station to, like, do full-on edit bay stuff that I guess people just couldn't do in the 90s.
Yeah, but nobody had cameras. Nobody had editing equipment. Nobody had any of this stuff.
Yeah, no one had any of this stuff at their house for sure. But like, you had access to it and were like pioneering vlogging before anyone even knew it could be a thing. Like there, right. You'll be like talking directly to the camera and showing people stuff and like adding in music tracks. And it's like, if you were just like, there's no doubt in my mind that if our entire family had happened 20 years later, you'd just be on YouTube. Like there's no way around it.
Yeah, no, I probably would. You're right. So, but I would carry the little handy cam everywhere to all of your events, soccer games, vacations, your graduations from first grade and preschool and all the different. So anytime there was an event that was remotely worthy of pointing a camera at, I was the dad that did that, which a lot of dads did. But then I took the extra step. And at the end of the year, I would put together basically a half hour documentary / vlog on everything that we did that year.
Yes.
And back then, we didn't have social media because my parents and Mary, your mom's parents, lived, 10 hours away.
Right, so like they didn't see any of these events.
They didn't get to see anything, so I would make it, and then I would make copies for everybody and then deliver them at Christmas so everybody could kind of see everything we did that year when we would travel from Virginia up to New York, which with three kids in a minivan was, that was quite a task, right?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Christmas presents. Sometimes I think we took the dog with us, so.
I will think back to like the amount of stuff we would get in that minivan. I'm just like, how? Right. How were we doing it? Because like I'll pack for the beach now, you know, with my kids, and I've got three boys in a minivan, and it is loaded, you know. Like I don't feel like we're even bringing as much stuff, but
yeah, well, we did it, and there would be no square inch that wasn't at least a towel stuffed in there or something, because that was the only place for the towel.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes.
So, but anyway, we digress. So the year in Carlin. We just watched the 1994 version, which was when you were the same age that Luke is now. And and Beth, your wife, saw a lot of similarities between you then and Luke now, which is that's in my mind. I always thought, well, maybe someday that'll happen.
Yeah.
And then without me even knowing it, because it's online now, and I'm not going to put a link to it because we haven't. Well. Do we want to share it?
I mean, that is up to you. It's an unlisted link, right? So only
right
people listening
unlisted,
to the podcast would have access to it, I guess, right?
Right. So anyway, but you'd be able to take a glimpse back at what life was like way back then. And now here you are growing a mustache, long way from first grade, and raising money for FSR. Because of this stupid thing called sarcoidosis that has afflicted me and most of the listeners in one way or another. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, you are very, very welcome. I certainly don't think we'd have been, ended up on YouTube or doing what we do if we weren't, if you weren't carrying around your camera doing the year in Carlin and stuff, year in and year out for our entire childhood. And that's, now our entire career. So. Absolutely happy to be doing it. And really, really, whether or not I keep it is only up to me after the timer ends. Before that, I must keep it. So if you really want to just force me to keep the mustache, then the number one way to do that is to just go donate and help raise money, which is on the KISS account is Super Carlin Brothers. So.
Gotcha. And what I'll do is I'll post a picture of you with your mustache as of today in your
cool
Caribbean shirt. Whoop. And and then so people can see what we're talking about. But I'm just really glad you're doing it. I hope this inspires somebody to jump in and make a contribution to your KISS account. And maybe that some of your millions and millions of followers on social media will become aware of this podcast, and maybe some of them will come over and listen to the podcast, because statistically a certain percentage of your people that follow you must have somebody with sarcoidosis in their life.
They probably do. Yeah, there's like enough people watching that must be the case.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Oh, you're welcome.
Feel like a zombie, just feeding that stumbling.
So thanks to Jonathan. Again, he started this fundraiser. I found out about it. He didn't even ask me or tell me first. He just said, you know, Dad's got sarcoidosis and I want to raise money for it and I'm going to do this. And so there you go. I found out about it when I saw his post on Instagram. And I think my wife saw it first and she said, did you know Jonathan is raising money for Sark? And then we started looking at his posts. And of course, I think he's hilarious. Obviously, a lot of other people do too. But at any rate, there you go. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'll put a link in the show notes with this podcast. But if you want to find Jonathan, he is on Instagram as Jonkerlin, sort of run Jonathan Carlin all together, Jonkerlin. Or you can look for the Super Carlin Brothers, or you can just go to his KISS page on the FSR website and make a donation. When you get to KISS, it'll say find your patient. Just type in Jonathan Carlin, and that'll come up. And I do hope you'll consider helping FSR and, of course, help Jonathan get to his fundraising goal. And sarcoidosis benefits in the end. FSR benefits in the end. Hopefully, sarcoidosis does not benefit. If you want to do that, just go to Team KISS and search for Jonathan. There's also a photo of him and his fledgling mustache in the show notes with this podcast. Jury's still out on whether he should keep that mustache. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's still very young. And as he said, it'll probably be up to his beautiful wife, Beth. So, but we'll keep you posted on that. The official Sark Fighter song is called Zombie by Mark Steyer and his band, the White Hot Lizards. You can hear Mark's story behind the lyrics in episode 12. The podcast comes out every other Monday. As I'm speaking today, my trusty dog, Dougal, my boxer, is curled up on the chair in my office. Dougal makes my life so much better. I have two nice planted aquariums in my office, and everything is lush and beautiful. That also makes my life better. Boy, after an 11 o'clock newscast some days, I'll come home, and whether we're talking about the latest murders or the trouble in the Middle East or, you know, whatever's on the news that day, I just need to calm down before I go to bed. I'll sit and look at those aquariums for a little bit, and it really does help. It really calms you down a little bit, gives you some peace of mind. The backstory to the founding of the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research is episode 11. That's with Andrea and Redding Wilson. Don't forget to follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Peloton. Just search for Sark Fighter. And my cycling blog, Carlin the Cyclist, has a section called Cycling with Sarcoidosis. And I'm amazed at the number of cyclists who have found this podcast and are contacting me, raising money by riding their bikes. And also, if you are new here and you're just trying to figure out what Sark is, try listening to episode 2 with Dr. Simon Hart. My story is episode 1. Please send me an email. It's in the show notes. And until next time, keep fighting.
Learn to suffer, you feel your pain someday. Learn endurance, your strength will fade away. Dead man walking, trying to keep up the pace. Dead man walking, counting.